بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد إن شاء الله firstly there is a request for the علماء الكرام to proceed downstairs to the basement إن شاء الله there will be a special program for them عجزانة درخواست تمام علماء الكرام سے کہ وہ تحقانے میں تشریف لے جائے إن شاء الله وہاں خصوصی program ہوگا إن شاء الله the remaining brothers should come forward إن شاء الله they can proceed from this door here also to go downstairs those are performing salah in the back still so we should rather go from here إن شاء الله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ففروا إلى الله إني لكم منه نذير مبين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ملجأ ولا منجا منك إلا إليك أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين
My respected brothers and elders in Islam, Alhamdulillah, we have been listening to many programs for the past from yesterday, Jummah time. And inshallah today we will be discussing is the crux, the summary of that. Why have we come in this world? What is the object of our life? Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us in this world? In this world there are three categories of people. Every one of us must look into our lives and see which category we are in. Which category do we fall into? In this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ All of you turn away and run. Run from everybody besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahal ibn Abdullah Tastari rahimahumullah was a very great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, Firru amma siwallah ilallah. From all those besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, run away. Turn away from them and run towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the object of your life. So as I was mentioning, there are three categories of people. The first category of people, the majority of the people in the world, they are those people who have made their object of life sand. We are made of sand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made our bodies of sand. So they are sacrificing their lives on sand. Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, one beautiful poem he says that, Kisi khaki par mat khak apni zindagani ko. De jawani, de kar fida usko jisne di jawani ko. He says your life which Allah has made, it's made of sand. Do not waste this life of sand on sand. You are wasting your life. But rather give your heart and give your life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator. We look at generally in the whole world, what are people's sacrifices, what are they making effort towards? You will find there are some people, the object of life is their body. Their body is made of sand. So the whole day and night, their fikr and concern is my body. I must go to gym in the morning. I must take some medication. Nowadays you get all of these funny kinds of medication. There's so many different ingredients they put inside there. So a person must get nice big muscles. That's the object of his life. I must gym 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day. So that's my object of life. I must look smart. So a person will shave off his beard also because I must look smart, attractive. My body must look nice. So he has sacrificed his life for his own body. And eventually, what is the result of that body? Sand. Sand plus sand is equal to sand. So he sacrificed his life for sin. A foolish person. Because as soon as he passes away, he goes in the qabr. And he made so much of effort, sacrifice to get nice big muscles, a big body, a smart body. And the ants really enjoy his meal. They enjoy this, and a very tasty person. They enjoy that person. So he wasted his whole life on sand. The second category of person, he wasted his life on a house. And what is the house made of? Sand. So his whole life, his object of life, I must get a house, I must get a smart house. And what a mess of house he built. And what in what sacrifices he goes. But I must have a beautiful house. So the object of his life is a house. I must have a smart house. So he makes effort and he earns so much of money, and if his house has to get destroyed, there is a flood, there is an earthquake, how a person cries. He is a small child, he is going with his father to the beach. And he is sitting now at the beach, and he is making a nice beautiful sandcastle. Beautiful sandcastle he makes. And after making the sandcastle, his father tells him, now it's 5 o'clock, it's time to go home. So he tells his father, I just want to wait a short while. I want to see the waves coming over my sandcastle and taking it away inside. So when the sand, the waves come, there is a high tide, it comes inside and it takes the castle, and the whole castle is taken away into the ocean. And the child, he smiles and he laughs. It was a very, very fun for him. I saw it. It was so beautiful how it went inside. Because he never put his heart on the sand. He knew it was a sand castle. It will be there for a short while. So he's an intelligent child. But that same child, 20 years later, he's building his mansion. He's building his castle. And his heart is attached towards it. Because my house, this is my palace. And he doesn't realize that a wave of life will come and it will take away that house. Either he will be destroyed or that house will be destroyed. So he wasted his life on sand. So sand, and he made effort on sand. So what does it become? Sand. There is a third category of people in this first group. Their object of life is clothing. Their object of life is clothing. Today, ajib how people they dress. One person, one lady, old lady, she was from the old times, so she was thinking of telling one person, she went to one party. She's telling one person next to her, that look at these youngsters, how they dress up today. You don't know if a man is a woman or that woman is a man. The way they dress up. You say, look at that girl, I don't know if it's a girl or a boy. Look how that person is dressed. You won't know if it's a boy or it's a girl. So the person next to her told, I'll definitely know, because that's my daughter. So she felt very embarrassed. I'm so sorry, I didn't know you were the father. Say, I'm not, I'm the mother. So today, the whole world, clothing, I have to make myself smart, tip-top. Our person has got this figure and concern. He's worried. So all what eventually happens to the clothing, it becomes rags. Sometimes the same rag is taken, he used to clean the bathroom, it's used to clean the toilet. So he made such an effort on his clothing. I must wear smart clothing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Lu'ina Abdul Khamisa. A cursed is a slave of clothing. He has made clothing the object of his life. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said he's a cursed person. He is very, very far away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you get the fourth category. A person, his object of life is woman. He is always running after woman. And woman is made of sand. So sand plus sand is sand. So his object of life is sand. I must get enjoyment with woman. And what is going to happen to that woman eventually? She's going to become old. Hazimullah Shaki, Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah has mentioned many, many ashar and poems about these women, that you are running, you're giving your life towards them. But that woman, eventually she reaches the age of 60, 70, and he says her whole back bends like a bow. Koi nana hui, koi nana hua, koi nani hui. Somebody becomes a nana, somebody becomes a nani. Koi dada hua, koi dadi hui. Somebody is a dada and a dadi. Before you were singing ghazals and you were singing ashar and poems about this woman, and you were going mad for her. Now 20 years later you see her, and now you see her cheeks have gone in, and now you see she's wearing thick glasses, and now her whole face, and she's got nice and fat size, and now you say, you turn your face away actually from her. There was one great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very great sheikh. So once in his khanka, one person had come for his islah, he come for his reformation to the khanka. So while he was staying there was one slave girl. In those times they had slave girls, and the law of hijab and parda for them is slightly less, but she was a very beautiful slave girl. So his eyes fell on her. And now all the time he's looking at her. Now he came for his islah, his reformation. He wasn't supposed to be looking at her. But all the time he's turning his glances, his gazes towards her. So this girl, she was pious. She went to the sheikh. She told the sheikh, you know that murid of yours, a disciple, he's looking at me with a very evil eye. So the sheikh said, you know what, don't worry. I got a certain ilaj. Here is some laxatives. Take this for a short while. And whatever is coming out, when you have laxatives, you have to go toilet. So I want you to collect it in a bucket. So anyhow, she started taking the laxatives and she started collecting it in a bucket. As she collecting it in a bucket, now she eventually, after about 3-4 days, her body had become thin now. Her cheeks had gone inside. And now the same attractiveness which she had a few days ago was not there. And now anyhow, again she goes in front of that person. And now when the person looks at her, he turns his face away with disgust. That Ishya, such an ugly looking woman. So then the Sheikh calls him. And the Sheikh said that 5 days ago, 7 days ago, the way you were looking and gaping at that woman. And now it's the same woman, but why did you turn your face away in disgust? He said, go and bring that stool. And he brings the stool. He says, this is the only difference between her 5 days ago and the difference between her today. This bucket of stool. So in factual fact, you weren't in love with her. But you were actually in love with that bucket of stool. So this is the reality. A person is, doesn't mean now a person, obviously a person gets married. And Hazrat used to say, don't think about your wife like this, yeah? But for other women, a person must think that this is actually what they are, full of stool and dirt and filth. Hazrat used to say that one day a person is walking, he's sitting in an aeroplane, and he's sitting next to an air hostess, or the air hostess is walking past, and the way he's admiring her, so when she's walking now past, then he puts his arm out a little bit, so when she walks mistakenly, he'll touch her. So that air hostess was a bit sharp also. So she, while she walked past him, she turned around, and one wind came out. The person forgot everything of his, that smell and that stench. This is the reality of women. Hazrat used to say that if these women, if they really got some value in them, then the what you are running after them, the person is going to get desire, his desire is fulfilled with them. Hazrat used to say that actually they, only thing they do is they make urine and stool. He said at least if they were giving you some Ruhe Afza, they were giving you some Spalata and Fanta, that's coming out, some Jalebi was coming out, it should have been some beneficial thing. He said, but what you're running after the cataline? You're running after that filth and dirt, just for a short while of enjoyment. Thori der ki lizzat hamesha ki zillat. So you have sacrificed your life on sand. So sand plus sand is sand. So this is the one category of people. The object of life is woman. Woman. I must get this woman. I must run after this woman. He's married. He got a halal wife also. But all the time now he's on pictures. He's watching that filthy pictures. And he's thinking and fantasizing. And these are sand. Made of sand. No benefit at all. But he is wasting his life. And eventually this makes the person mad. One person, he fell in love with one woman. He wants to get married to her. And as it normally happens, you want to get married to that woman. She don't want to get married to you. So anyhow, he sent a proposal. Her name was Shabnam. So she refused to accept. So anyhow, he became mad. They put him in a mad hospital. All the time he's saying, Shabnam, Shabnam, Shabnam. Because she got married to somebody else. So one day, one inspector came. He came to the mad hospital. He wanted to visit. So he came past this man's cell. And this man is telling Shabnam, Shabnam, Shabnam. So he says, what happened to this man? You see, he wanted to get married to a lady called Shabnam. And she left him. She went to got married to somebody else. So eventually he went mad. He's in a mad hospital. So the man said, a very, very sad case. He continued, he came forward to the next cell. And in that cell there is one man, like a roaring, ah, 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 making funny, funny noises. You see, what happened to this man? You see, this man got married to Shabnam. So whether you got the woman, you never got the woman. See, they won't make you mad. So a person who has made his object of life woman, this is eventually the final result. There are some people, their object of life is food. And they say, I am food. Me, I am food. The object of my life is food. And they say, I don't eat to live, but I love to eat. Or I'm on a seafood diet. I see food, I eat it. So all funny, funny things. These people, their object of life is food. All the time, the fikr and concern, food, food, food. But eventually, what is the result of that food? As long as the food was outside of your body, it looks very, very beautiful. The minute it goes in your body, what happens to the food? What is the reality of that food? So a person who is object of life is food, all the time the fikr and concern, according to some one narration, that in close to Qiyamah, the object of a person's life will be food and his sexual desires to fulfill that day. So also he is fighting for something which is made of sand. And sand plus sand is sand. When you will go in the cupboard, that object was that food, I must eat. And the more tastier food a person eats, the more richer food a person eats, the smells in the toilet also accordingly. The food smells so, so bad. That is the final result. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took some Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhum, he mentions this hadith, and they went to one place out of Medina Munawwara. And in those times there was no toilet, so they used to have these dump sites, all where things used to be dumped. So when they came there, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Huraira, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that you can see all of these things. So what they saw there, they saw there were some rags there, and they saw there were some skulls there, and they saw some excreta there, and they saw all other bones there. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Huraira and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that you see what is this here? This is the example of dunya. He said, look at all of these skulls. These were people like you. They had wonderful, lovely bodies. And they had big, big hopes. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. But look today, what is the final result of them? Today they have become skulls. The worms have eaten them up, they have devoured them up, and now only the skulls remain. And he said, remember all that wonderful food and the delicious food and the 5-course meals and the 7-course meals. This is the final result of that. You see all of this? Excreta. This is the final result of that. And all the wonderful animals in those times, they had animals, today we got our cars. All the wonderful animals and conveyances. You see today all of those bones are there. How a person prided himself. I've got a Mercedes Benz. I've got a Porsche. I've got this. I've got that. What wonderful camels and horses they had in those times. You see, this is the final result. And you see all of these rags which are flying around. This was a wonderful, beautiful clothing people wore. There was a wedding, there was a walima, there was an occasion. A person wanted to show off, I'm the most smartest, I'm the most handsomest, what smart clothing I've got. And they walked about in pride and arrogance. And this is the final result of the day. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, take lesson from this here. And all the Sahaba radiallahu anhu and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started crying. And they looked and this is the reality of this. Another narration, it comes that a person, whoever wants to look at the reality of this world, he must look at all of these dumb places, these garbage places. And a person, he realizes that if he has put his life in these things, he has destroyed his life of dunya also, he has destroyed his life of akhirah. As Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, لا تعجبك أموالهم وأولادهم. Don't let their money and their children put a person in deception. Allah is using it to punish the people in this world. A person who has made his object of life, all of these things of sin, they eventually come and they cause harm to a person. So this is one thing, the food of a person. Then another thing is which we have mentioned now, the vehicles. A person, his whole object of life is vehicles, vehicles, vehicles. I must get a smart car, I must get a very superior car. Whereas the object of a car is to take a person from place A to place B. But now a person, his whole object of life, I must get that car. I must take out a bond. I must buy this kind of car. What my friends will say if I got another kind of car, I got a Toyota, I haven't got a Merc, I haven't got a BMW, I haven't got a Porsche and a Ferrari. What my friends will say? You see, you've come down in society. You haven't got status now because of your car. And the last thing which is made of sand also, in the past eras it was gold and silver, and in today's time it's money. That also is a deception, it's money. And eventually either you will separate from that money, or that money will separate from you when your person will pass away. One person was about to pass away, so he told his son, he made wasiyat, that I am passing away, I'm leaving this world. But when I leave this world, I've got this one pair of socks. He was a very wealthy person, but a very pious person. So he said, I want this pair of socks, I'm giving it to you. And I want you, when I pass away, you must put it on for me. The person said, no problem, son. After passing away, now the son goes, they are burying the father, they've put on the kafan, and they are about to take him to the qabristan. He says, my father has to put on a pair of socks for you. He's not my father, he tells the person giving the ghusl. The person says, how can we allow this? Islamically, only 3 pieces of cloth for a male. No socks can be allowed, nothing else. The person says, this is my father's wasiyat, it was his bequest, his final advices to me. So he starts fighting with him. They eventually call the Mufti, the Maulana Sahib. Maulana says no. Then they call the Mufti Sahib and he's arguing and fighting. Just then the father's old friend comes. And he comes with a letter and he gives it to the son. And then the son opens up the letter and the son sees there that the father has written, that my beloved son, I am sure now you must be arguing with the Mufti Sahib and the Maulana Sahib. And you must be asking them to put on this one pair of socks for me. My son, see, actually I want you to teach you a lesson. See, I have left this world and I have left a lot of money with you. But remember that money is of no benefit to you when you will go in the qabr. They won't allow you to take 1 cent of that money in the grave with you. They're not allowing you to take one pair of socks. So where all of that money they'll ever allow you to take in the qabr? So he wanted to show his son that this is the reality. All of that money which a person is crying for, dying for. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi mentioned the story of one person. Whenever we make the object of something in our life, if we have made it our object, Allah uses the same thing to destroy a person. You have made the object of life your vehicle, you'll pass away in a vehicle accident, car accident. You make the object of your life, your children, you fulfill every desire of them, they're the ones who will kick you in the back. You make the object of life your wife, and you will listen to every command, whatever she tells you, and you break Allah's commands by listening to her, the same wife will be the cause of your destruction. Allah has given you money, and use that money in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same money will destroy you. So, one very, very wealthy person, he went to his safe one night, to go and count his money. And he's counting his money, counting. He was worried that the guard mustn't be stealing the money. But the guard came and the guard says, hey, I forgot to close the safe tonight. He got very, very worried. He quickly closed the safe and he locked it up. And now that man comes and how he's trying to come out, and he's screaming and screaming. He was a Jewish person. And eventually he stayed there for 2-3 days. They're looking for the person. They're sending out search teams and looking for him from place to place. They can't find him. After 1 week or so, then they decided, now let's open up the vault, take out all his money, give it out to the inheritors. When they open up the vault, they find he is dead there. He could not even get one. How much of millions he had? He couldn't buy one loaf of bread. So all of these things are a deception in the world. So may Allah protect and save us, that we are from the first category. Those people whose object of life is all of these things. They have made effort to stand. We shall go back to sand. مِنَا خَلَقَنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ. From sand we have created you, from sand we will send you back. So your body, your vehicles, your car, all of these things are made from sand. So Hazrat Hakim Sahib, down barakatum, say, Rahmatullah Ali, says in his poem, that your body is made of sand, but don't destroy and waste your life on sand. But give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the second category of people, are those people who have made Jannah the object of life. And Jannah is a very, very great place. We haven't got the time now, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if a person has got one whoop, that one whoop, how big is the whoop? So small. But the whoop of a person is far, far better of one, the whoop of Jannah, that amount of place, the mawdi'u sawti ahadikum, the place of one whoop of Jannah is far better than the whole world and whatever it contains. We cannot even imagine what is the size of Jannah. But Jannah is a second category. And there is one higher category which every one of us must work towards. And that is why we have come for this Islahi Jalsa. That we must not waste our life on our sand. We must make effort towards Jannah, mashallah, very Mubarak and blessed. But there is one higher rank, one higher status, one stage much, much more superior and higher. And that is to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our object of life. A person must make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He must get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. He must get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One buzrug by the name of Malik ibn Dinar rahmatullah alayhi says, he says, خَرَجَ أَهْلُ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَلَمْ يَذُوقُوا أَطْيَبَ شَيْءٍ فِيهَا. The people of this dunya have left this dunya, they have passed on, they have left this world, they passed away. But the most enjoyable thing in the world they have not tasted. So it was asked of him, what is the most enjoyable thing in the world? And we will think the most enjoyable thing is a lovely plate of food, or a wonderful woman relations a person has with a person, or a beautiful house a person is staying in, or a wonderful holiday a person is staying in. These are very, very small things. But he says that the most enjoyable thing in the world is ma'rifatullahi azza wa jal. To get recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love forever. It's not like all of these other things. You got a house, the house is destroyed before you, or you will die and leave the house. There will always have to be separation in this world. But between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will never be separation. Because when a person, the minute he passes away, then he will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the qabr on the day of qiyamah. كل من عليها فان. Everything in the surface of this earth will eventually be destroyed. وَيَبَقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Allah will remain forever and forever. Allah will never ever come to an end. So the connection and ta'alluq a person has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever terminate. Any other connection a person has in this world eventually will terminate. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam and says, O Muhammad, أَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُهُ. Love whoever you want to in this world, but remember one day you will have to separate from him. So a person will separate from everybody in this world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being, he will never ever separate from you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everyone else in this world, they are not loyal to a person. How much can they help a person? What can they do to a person? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who is very, very loyal. Allah will be with a person even when he is all alone. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is being taken and he's thrown into the fire. He's about to be burned. But he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is loyal to his servants. Allah will never leave his servants in the lurch. Allah will destroy his servants. Those who give their lives to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is not a friend who at the time when a person is in need and difficulty, Allah will leave that person. Your friends in this world, because they are weak, they are useless, they haven't got power, they haven't got money, they haven't got wealth, they might leave you, they might be disloyal to you. So much so, a person is married also, he's got his wife, he's got so much of love for his wife, he's got his children. But the day Allah ta'ala shows us the reality of disloyalty, when you pass away, it is your own children, it's the law of Shariat also. But your wife tells immediately as you pass away, that please take my husband out of the house today. I can't leave him here anymore, take him to the Qabristan. And the children are the same people who are taking the sand and they're throwing it over the Qabr. Your own children, they are putting you in the ground. And they are making sure you stay in the ground properly. They take some boards also and they put it there tight. And if there are any holes also, they take some grass and pieces, they put it there inside so the person mustn't come out. And then they take so much of sand and throw it over and over and over. Not clear also, even more higher than the dead. So make sure my father never ever comes out from the Qabr. So they are showing us the lesson that this everyone in this world is disloyal to you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only being who is always loyal with you. Everybody else in this world, whoever else they may be, any other connection, they will never be with you always. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Wherever you may be in the world, I will be with you. A person is sitting 12 o'clock at night, and he's sitting and singing songs. He's thinking about his one girlfriend. There was one great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once, before he became a wali, he fell in love with one woman. So one night he told the woman, I'll meet you. Or he actually went to her house, and he stood outside the window. And the whole, it was a pitifully cold night, winter night. And he stood outside that whole night waiting. I hope my beloved comes. I can get one glimpse of her at the window. But the whole night she never comes. And then this thing eventually struck a chord in his heart. Then I'm wasting my life on something which is funny, which is temporary. And I've got Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will be always with me. So at 12 o'clock at night, a person is sitting and he's thinking about his beloved. As Mawlana Shaki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says in one poem, that Sanam, he says the Sota Rehta Hai, or I forgot the exact word. He says that the person, the beloved, he's sitting and crying the whole night. And he's sitting and crying. But the Sanam, the idol who is running after Sota Rehta Hai, she's fast asleep. You're sitting and thinking about her, and you're singing songs about her, and you sing, I love you, my dear. But she is fast asleep. She doesn't even know you're thinking about her. Even if it's your own wife who you love so much, you're sitting and thinking about her at night, and you're making ashar and poems in her love. She takes a pillow and she gives you one shot. Go and sleep away. Don't disturb me at night. You're disturbing my, breaking my sleep. So, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being. At 12 o'clock at night, a person wakes up, and he says, Ya Allah, and Allah says, my banda, what you want? Ask me whatever you want. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with a person at every single moment. Allah will never leave a person. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمُ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Allah is fully watching exactly every action of yours. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who can fulfill every need of yours. And there is no one else in this world who can fulfill any need of yours. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَانٍ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Whoever is in the heavens and the earth, they are every moment muhtaj and in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only being who can fulfill our needs. And anybody else in this world, if you ask a person, you go to him, you ask him for some help, he might help you the first time, he might help you the second time. But eventually that person feels hard also, you feel embarrassed also, if you got some shame within yourself, how can I ask this person? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you don't ask him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes angry. And Allah ta'ala says, ask my bannas, I want to give you. And Allah ta'ala definitely gives a person. Sometimes it might not be what we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah ta'ala knows what is best for us. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and outwardly Allah doesn't give us that, but Allah will definitely give us something far, far better. A person goes to his father and he tells his father, I want a certain thing, I want a gun. The father knows my son is not intelligent enough to keep a gun. He'll kill himself, he'll cause harm to somebody else, so I can't give my son a gun. But he buys something more, better for his son. He says, buy a nice car, I buy a nice Ferrari for my car, for my son. So he buys him something better. So we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will never ever leave you. Whenever you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gets very, very happy. You're lifting up your hands and you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is giving it to you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it in different, different ways. So Allah is the only one who can fulfill our needs. Anybody else in this world, He can't fulfill our needs. So these are some of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more your love for Allah ta'ala will increase. Every single quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just the mercy of Allah, the kindness of Allah, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you come to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more your love for Allah will increase. But all of makhluk and creation, the more you come to know of them, then automatically you in your heart you get some weaknesses in that person. Any person, that they say the grass is always greener on the other side. A person is married now and he's thinking, hey, you know, I made a big mistake, man. I should have got married to so and so woman. What a good woman that is. And her husband is thinking, hey, you know what, that guy, he got a very good wife. I wish I got married to his wife. So the grass is always greener on the other side. A person will always find faults because we are human beings. We are full of faults. Every single human being. The most beautiful house you've got is full of faults also. You go there, you'll find one crack in the tile. You'll find the bathroom is not working properly. Smartest house. How much millions are paid on there? Still you'll find his weaknesses in that house. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being. The more you come to know of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more your love for Allah increases. Because Allah is only full of perfection and kamal. And we cannot reach the final level to understand who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. But the whole of creation, no matter how much they are, who they are, the more you come to know of them, you will find weaknesses, you will find faults. That is why it comes in the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then فَإِن كَرِهْتُمُ هُنَّ, your wife, you will find some weaknesses within her. But perhaps you will dislike something in which Allah has placed a lot of goodness. In the year we are, it is an indication that don't look at the faults and the weaknesses of your wife, look at the good qualities. Because everyone in this world, they have got weaknesses. Just like how she's got weaknesses, you also have got many, many weaknesses. So look at the good of us. So any human being, we have to look at the good in that person. Every single human being in this world will have weaknesses. Besides the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the great Anbiya alayhi salam, they were sinless. But even human qualities, they had also weaknesses, they also got tired, they also got sick, they also got ill, because we are all human beings. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who never ever gets tired. Allah ta'ala never ever gets weak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got no weakness within Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only perfection and kamal. These are just a few points we are mentioning, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is not time now to go into it. But I'm just trying to show us that if a person attaches his heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a hay. Hayyun means Allah ta'ala is the one who is living. And if we attach ourselves to something which is living, then inshallah this will give us life in this world also, life in the qabr also, life on the day of qiyamah also. And if we attach our heart to something which is dead, everything made of sand is actually dead. Allah has given it life for a short while. If we are attaching our life to something which is dead, our heart will eventually die. If a person, there is a plug point here, and the plug point, there is electricity coming through there, and he takes a plug, and he puts it in the plug point, and there is no electricity coming, it's completely dead, and he puts it on, the fan will not work, the heater won't work, because why? The connection is completely dead. So if you are connecting our heart to something which is dead, then our heart eventually will die. But on the other hand, if there is electricity coming, there is current coming, and a very, very strong current, and you put your plug in there, and you put it on, and then the thing will start blowing, it will start giving a person benefit. Because why? It's connected to something with life. If we connect our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is full of life, who is alive, then our hearts will become alive. And today the whole world, they are running after things of sand. That is why they've got no happiness in their life. But if our heart is connected to somebody who is alive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then forever and forever Allah will give us the enjoyment of this life. Allah will give us enjoyment in the qabr, and Allah will give us enjoyment on the day of qiyamah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, that if we live this life, Jalsa, with just this one thing in our heart, that I must not become deceived by the outside things of this world. I must not give my life to sand, but I must give my life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I must get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I must get connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then that person has come for this Islah Jalsa is 100% successful. How will a person get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Inshallah, I will just mention three easy ways. The first thing is a person has to have the talab and the desire within himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives on talab, on desire. The baby who is crying, there is no milk in the breast of the mother. But when the baby cries, it got talab and desire. Allah ta'ala creates that milk in the breast of the mother. So if a person has got talab and desire that I want to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to that person because he's got the talab. The second thing we should do is we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Till now in our life we have made dua for many, many things. But how many of us have ever made dua that, oh Allah, I want your love? And this is the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma inni yas'aluka hubbak. Oh Allah, I ask you for your love. Wa hubba man yuhibbuk. And the love of those people who love you. وَالْعَمَلَ الَّذِي يُبَلِّهُنَا حُبَّكْ And those amal and actions which will lead me to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As in Munashah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to say that many, many people in this world, they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make a lot of dua, but they ask for the small things of this world. And they do not ask for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, ask Allah ta'ala for the highest, that, oh Allah, I'm not worthy of it, but oh Allah, I'm asking you for your love. He said, it must not happen on the day of Qiyamah, a person comes. And a person says, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at those people, Allah will tell them, you asked for this in the world, you asked for this, I gave you this, I didn't give you this, you asked me for your love, so I will give it to you today on the day of Qiyamah. And now you see, I didn't ask, I didn't make the dua, and then a person regrets. So a person ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every day make dua, that, oh Allah, I want your love. Because this is the greatest gift and enjoyment in the world. And finally, stay in the company of those people who have got the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want bread, you go to a person who makes bread, who sells bread. If you want clothing, you go to a kapra wala, a person who sells clothing. Anything you want in life, you go to the person who has got that. If a person wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he must go to the Allah walas. The friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have got connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when you sit in their company, they speak about Allah. They remind you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they remind you about akhirat. When you look at their lives, it reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you see them, it reminds you, I must go to the masjid. This is a pious person. He's a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are showing you the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Connect ourselves with any wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As this dua says of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Allah, I ask you for your love and the love of those people who love you. When you will have love for those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, automatically the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come into our heart. So this is a very, very important thing, and one of the easiest ways, connecting ourselves with the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just by connecting ourselves with them, inshallah, we will also get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we leave this jalsa, inshallah, with this in my mind, that there is something like the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understand today the love of material things, the love of a house, the love of a car, the love of a wife. But till today, have you understood that there is something like the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that must be the object of my life, not the things of sand, which is eventually going to be destroyed. And today, look at our lives. How much of our time do we give to things of sand? And how much of our time are we giving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ. When Allah is spoken about alone, Allah's zikr is made. Those people who don't believe in the akhirat, their hearts become constrained. They're not happy. But you speak about anything else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the kuffar become happy. Speak about sports, speak about politics, speak about something else, people become happy. This is a sign of a person who hasn't got iman. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is spoken about, he says, we have a da'wah, and people are not going now. Yes, all the time sitting there. And just bring up a topic of deen. Then suddenly you see the people waking up. They start going one by one. And you still see they're not waking up, start making tashkil. Then definitely, abad, those people will wake up and go away. Because right now, I might get caught here. So because why? Anything else besides Allah is mentioned, we get happy about that. But when Allah is spoken about, there's the weakness of our iman. Ya Allah, give me the reality first. Then how can the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come into my life, into all of us, and through the barakat and blessings of these gatherings? Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant us the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.